So, April 17th, 2019, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you please all rise for the flag salute, followed by a silence for our servicemen and women.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item on the agenda, presentation of minutes. We have the minutes of the executive session of February 6th, 2019. Any comments, discussion, or motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the executive session minutes of February 6th, 2019.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then the minutes of the regular meeting of April 3rd, 2019. Any comments or discussion? Motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting for April 3rd, 2019.
Second.
Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Yes. Now we have public comments. I would remind the public that this meeting is recorded and posted on the website shortly after tonight's meeting. This is limited to agenda items only. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
A second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to come up.
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Hollow Road. Okay, I'm on the roles and responsibilities. When we, the committee was on the mayor, Tom, our liaison, Karen, the clerk, Nina, and myself met to do a hiring a new curator. At that time, we stated that the historians wanted to have an active role in what went on with the museum as per our new ordinance. We looked at this as a new beginning. On March 12th, I sent an email to everyone that I've mentioned, plus Maria and Victor, who were also on the hiring committee, and asked to a meeting to discuss roles and responsibilities as there was confusion over our roles. I had no response from the mayor or Tom. I spoke with the mayor about a meeting and got no commitment. Last Thursday at our meeting, Tom said a group would meet in a few weeks, and here we are a week later having a public meeting about roles and responsibilities with no input from the historians. If we addressed this a month ago, maybe we wouldn't be here today.
Victor Huffman, Chairman of Historians. I'm a little confused because, Tom, we did talk about having a meeting in about 2 weeks on this. I'm a little bit confused why it's been moved up until tonight without any talk between us.
I had some concerns after the last meeting, and I would like to discuss with our attorney and executive the ordinance, and from that possibly have an answer for everyone on the roles of the curator.
Okay.
I have some concerns.
It'd been nice if you had let me know that you were planning on doing that.
I told you at the meeting, last meeting, that I was going to get this committee involved with the ordinance. I did say that.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
I'm not denying that. But we said in a couple weeks we'd get together. Doesn't matter. I'm a little bit amiss why the chairman was not notified that we're going to have this on the discussion tonight. It has something to do with historians. I figured we would at least got a notice that, you know, you were going to have a discussion. And receiving no notice at all, befuddled.
Normally, this is not a discussion, but as Tom said, I was at that historians meeting as well when it was stated that this would be on the agenda tonight, so I thought you were informed. But your comment is taken.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? Is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Okay. First resolution, Resolution 40-2019. This is for authorizing a grant to the Highlands for a open space funding program for the Whitehall property preservation. So the background on this is that the Highlands Council has a funding program where they would provide up to 50% funding for eligible land acquisition for preservation, and their funding is coming through a federal Highlands grant. So it's, you apply to the Highlands Council, and they apply to the federal grant program, and then later in the summer we would hear if we qualified for 50% funding. There's just up the road from us here on East Hill Road, there's about 7 acres broken up into 4 building lots and then some land that would be carved off of an adjacent lot owned by Whitehall Partners. They've been in discussion apparently for a couple of years with the Highlands Council. A year or so ago, or maybe 2 years ago, as I understand it, they qualified for some Highland Development Credit Program. It didn't meet their needs, so they were in contact with the Highlands Council. When they found out that this new open space preservation grant program came up, this grant requires a municipality to sponsor the grant, if you will, or to be the grant application. So they happened to approach myself through the Highlands Council to ask if Lebanon Township would sponsor this. As I said, it's 4 previously subdivided lots, lot 8.06, 7, 8, and 9 here on block 24, plus they would go all the way to the corner of East Hill Road and Hickory Run. Total about 7 acres, and there's a map in your packet. There'd be a little lot line adjustment to move some of the property lines up to Stone Rose and the like. I brought this to the attention of the Township Environmental Open Space Commission, who reviewed it and recognized that as the headwaters to the Hickory Run stream, it is an environmentally sensitive land, not a very large parcel, not really suited for big recreation use, but also noted that the township has something called a wastewater management plan, which is part of the New Jersey water quality management planning rules, and the action that Lebanon Township can take, really the only one, is to reduce septic density by preserving land. So this would potentially reduce 4 septic systems in a relatively close area, 6 acres. So the EOSC, Township EOSC, recommended applying for this grant program. I also spoke with Raritan Headwaters, the conservancy group, and you'll see in your packet a letter where they would support, as they said, they're in full support of Lebanon Township's preservation efforts, and they would they'd be prepared to apply their Hunterdon County open space funding or New Jersey DEP Green Acres funding for the other 50% funding. Therefore, we don't have professional estimates for the value of that property. Given that they are 4 building lots, each of those, it wouldn't be unusual in our township for a building lot to be priced in the $60,000 range, plus some additional acreage costs of transaction. So we assume that it could be a $260,000 transaction. So the application would be to the Highland Council program for $130,000 of funding. With that, I turn it over to any questions, comments, discussions from the committee.
How much would it cost the township?
Out of the general fund, it wouldn't cost anything. Whether we use some of our dedicated open space funds,
which is that 1%,
which is the 1% that's collected, we could potentially use the 50%. Last meeting, actually, we applied for a Green Acres Planning Incentive Grant. We won't find out till later in the summer if we receive that.
There may be more funds coming.
The intention would be to use partnership funds for the other half of it, okay. Or backup would be dedicated open space funds. Okay. There's no other discussions. Is there a motion to approve resolution number 40-2019?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 40-2019 supporting and authorizing application for Highlands Open Space Partnership Funding Program for Whitehall Properties Preservation.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we've got a series of four resolutions related to the Length of Service Award Program, so-called LOSAP, for our fire department. The first is for the qualifying year 2017. Nine members of the fire department qualified, and that, as verified by the fire department, each would get a $700 contribution to their LOSAP payment for a total of $6,300. This has been reviewed by Mark Lowell, who's our LOSAP administrator. Any comments or discussion related to Resolution 41, 2019?
So this would be posted in the township?
It already has been.
It's already been posted.
Been posted, both of them?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
There's a 30-day posting period for after the fire department verifies the names, then it gets posted for 30 days at the fire department here at the municipal building. That's been done, so these are now ready to be awarded.
So I'll make a motion for Resolution 41, 2019, approving the LOSAP payments for the qualified year of 2017.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then for the qualifying year 2018, again, happens to be nine members of the volunteer fire department, one or two different names from the 2017 qualifying year. So, again, it would be a contribution of $6,300 in aggregate to the LOSAP plan provider. Any comments or discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 42-2019 for the qualifying for the members of the fire department for year 2018.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And then resolution 43-2019. This is to amend resolution 96-2016. That amendment approved certain payments for qualifying years, and we've added one additional name. I don't know, Mark, if you want to give any.
Steve Bisbee. He was originally in my discussions. No, I didn't get information either way if he was fire or rescue, because this only pertains to fire department. Since in the past 3-4 months, it was determined that he was on fire, he reached out to me, provided documentation he was part of fire. I conferred with other previous members of the fire department, and it was like kind of like, oh, yeah, he was a member for. And the reason it's critical in this scenario, he was a member for 4 years, so this payment makes his fifth year, which makes him vested. Then it becomes his money, or at the 4-year mark, it would not be. So that's why it's a.
So this resolution would be to contribute $700 to Stephen Bisbee for his qualifying year. Any other comments, discussion, or motion for resolution 43?
I'll make a motion for resolution 43-2019.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And finally, resolution 44-2019, resolution approving the return of the LOSAP contributions. This is for a list of 17 names, firefighters who worked for a couple of years and received contributions that are with the plan sponsor, but they didn't serve enough years to qualify, to vest, and they're no longer active on the fire department. So this resolution is to return the money held to Lebanon Township. It would be approximately $26,000 plus interest to date, but the resolution would just be to return the funds held by the town by the plan sponsor
and close out the accounts, because there's some accounts in here that don't have values anymore. But it's also just to close out to make sure that on the Lincoln Financial side that the names are closed off and removed from the list too. So I'll make a motion to approve resolution 44-2019.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, actually.
Oh, yes.
I'm on that. I can't say
anything. Oh. Sorry. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yep. Good. Okay. Yeah. On to old business. First item of old business is related to our telecom contract. As we've been going through and looking, getting down to the details of the exact extensions and the like, it's been determined that we need to add 3 cordless phones and 3 so-called off-net extensions. So there's a $675 one-time charge plus $15 for each off-net extension. So the motion before us is to authorize the addendum to the existing contract with Monmouth Telecom.
Any details on those three and three, what they're for, that why they came in after the fact?
Two are for the library and one is for the museum.
Okay.
Yeah, so one's downstairs, one's at the desk at the library, and one's upstairs at the museum.
Okay.
And I guess just for the update, we don't have any of the new phones in yet, but they're in process, and this is sort of evidence that we're now getting down to the short strokes of getting all of those in the coming weeks, I think, right? Yeah.
Have we figured out the police downstairs? Is that all straightened out?
That's been part of going through line by line. And
okay.
So I'll make a motion to approve the addendum to the existing HPBX contract.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next item relates to the Township Appreciation Dinner.
Simple question is, my thoughts are I'd like to give something to the people who come to take away with, and one of my thoughts was like a T-shirt with the Livin' Township logo and maybe like commitment to community or something like that on it. The T-shirts, and my wife has all the equipment to actually do the heat presses, so we donate our labor, but the T-shirts are about $450, $500, and then to have the logos made up, pre-done, are about $1 a shirt for the actual heat press thing instead of us putting them through our machine, a lot more labor to weed it out that way, so it's easier if we have them made. And then we can get enough made that down the road, if we wanted to have more of them, another group wanted to have them, we'd have the prints already done. So figuring $450 to $500 for the T-shirts, and then about another $100, $150 for the logos made. So at worst case, I'd say $650. So basically, as if it's fine with the committee, I'll move forward with getting that stuff ordered.
Do we have an overall price per person for this event?
The food, really the only real major cost is the food. The food is going to be between $1,500 and $2,000, depending on how many servers we want working, you know, or, you know, kind of with it. So that really comes. So I know we budget and we spent usually four somewhere in that neighborhood before. So
this would fit within the typical
budget?
Would
fit within
the
typical
last
budget.
Year, what did we spend? I think, we had the dinner dance and it was like $40 a person. We kept it at. So as long as it's below that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say at the high end, the food is $2,000, and then this, and there's really not a lot of other expenses other than some alcohol. And typically that's run $350 to $450.
Yeah, because we usually have like 65 people, so if you take those numbers and divide it up, that would be a good ballpark figure.
Yeah, at the park we've had almost 90, you know, the last times we had at the park, so.
Yeah, well, mine was less than that when I did it, so, but.
But I think we're in there. Like I said, I just want to get the approval so I can get the T-shirts ordered and then to get the imprints if that's something that would be interested in.
2X. 2X.
Oh. That's an extra dollar.
Yeah.
Would you do
I'll
me a
make
favor?
A motion
just
to
hang on one second, Brian. Right. Just at the next meeting, just if you could have a rough price per person, that would be good. Mm-hmm. You might know
for
better by
then.
Because it is taxpayer money.
Mm-hmm.
So. Last year I offset some of it with my own money to keep it at $40 a person for the dinner dance. But picnics are different. I understand that.
So is it okay if we go forward with having, you know, me buying T-shirts and the logos to give out to everybody who shows up, or is that or no? Or?
You on a deadline?
Well,
I'll make a motion that
yes.
It's okay to get the T-shirts. And
roll call?
Yes.
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 Does that motion include not to exceed $650, or is that just like discussion, or what is the motion exactly?
I mean, we can make it not to exceed $650. That's
it's up to you. I just want to know what I should put as the...
Unless we have 300 people show up.
Yeah.
Then
probably to authorize $650, and he'll come back to us if it's if that runs.
May 11th shows up, and we have a lot more people that are signed up for it. Yeah. Then
can we re-roll it then if it's at if there's a $650 cap?
Sure. Can I have a motion to approve the T-shirts with a $650 cap?
So moved.
there a second?
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is not on the agenda. It's an old item of business that's just come up related to the revaluation contract, clarifying the insurance that's covering that. Karen, do you want to give the details on that? Or do you want me to give it and correct
it? It's up to you. How, okay.
You're closer.
The reval company is pretty much prepared and ready to go on Monday, if possible. We had a few insurance issues when it came to professional liability, and they searched quite a few different companies, including their own, of course, and they would not meet the requirements that the township had suggested, which would be $2 million per claim. This is just professional liability. The general is fine. And $3 million per aggregate. So after searching many different companies, they came back and said that they were at a loss. They weren't able to find anyone to provide the coverage until their current company, Hartford, did come back and say that they would cover $1 million per claim and $1 million per aggregate. So I spoke with our agent, and they said that they were satisfied with that. If that's what they could provide, then we would accept that. So I followed up with them today, and they provided me with a letter, not a certificate of insurance, but a letter from Hartford's proof that they did the coverage is going through. It'll take 2 to 3 days to get the certificate of insurance, but they would like to start on Monday. They're going to overnight the contract to me tomorrow, and then once I receive it, I have to sign it. The mayor and I have to sign it, and I have to send it to the state. Is it okay for me, based on the email from Hartford, to sign the contract, send it to the state, or would you rather till I have a certificate of insurance in hand?
I wouldn't see a problem with it there. I would see a problem with them starting, like physically doing working.
Well, that's the question, because their plan is to, they're going to come in for IDs, tags to be printed tomorrow, and then they want to start on Monday.
Well, this is just for the, and I suggest, this is for the professional services element.
Yeah,
well,
everything else is in compliance.
Yeah, this is a very narrow portion of
right.
of possibility. We discussed this about, it's a very narrow issue. Does the email speaks to that they've actually been able to bind coverage for that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the key. That's
yes,
the key
that's
term.
What they
I mean,
said.
As long as it's not
that's
pending.
That's what they're waiting for.
I don't think there's a reason to hold it up.
And it has the company's name, Hartford?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the individual who has been dealing with them back and forth in order to obtain a coverage.
The issue of risk on this, I don't get too far in this, but in open, but is more towards the end of the process as opposed to the other coverages, which could occur immediately upon the first interaction, which we've already verified that coverage.
So the coverage for the people walking around is
in place. Yes.
This is for the product.
Correct. Right. This is for anything that would come from this would be an end result
right,
issue.
Sure, right.
Okay. So that then I don't see a problem with that.
So is there a motion to authorize execution of that contract with the modified professional services amount with a letter rather than a certificate?
I'll make that motion as mentioned by the mayor.
I'll second it.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay, so they should be out hitting the pavement on Monday then.
Thank you. Can we update the website? Because in the reval discussion, residents were told that they could call in to make appointments rather than have the inspectors come to their homes. And at the time people were trying to call in, we didn't know when the start date was, so people were told to hold on. But we could now update the website as soon as we know early next week that the revaluation inspectors are canvassing homes and people
right.
can call for inspections and expect people at their doors.
Right. Sure.
With that update. All right. Any other old business anyone would like to bring up? Then we're on to new business. First item of new business is Friends of Memorial Park landscaping contract. Good evening. Do you mind if I give a little preview and then we turn it over to you for the question and answer? So we received correspondence a few days ago, maybe last week, regarding the Friends of Memorial Park, which is a nonprofit organization that supports work at our Memorial Park, that wanted to hire a landscaping company to do the scope of the work is spring cleanup, fall cleanup, weeding of 7 garden beds 5 times in the season, and mulching garden beds, 7 garden beds. Total contract value, $4,857. As the committee would be aware, we have a memorandum of understanding with the park committee, which lists insurance requirements, although I note the language says that for, quote, larger contracts, the insurance listed would be required, and there's a umbrella excess liability policy of $1 million. The contract that they have includes the general liability insurance policy of $1 million, but to get the excess $1 million would be another cost of $2,100. I previewed this with our attorney and just made sure that I understood this correctly. So for and actually clarified that there wouldn't be power equipment being used, there'd be no tractors, there might be weed whacker or leaf blowers, but right. No chainsaws. This isn't heavy duty. This is, I don't know if this would qualify as a larger contract. So the question is, would the committee and the township be comfortable if the Friends of Memorial Park had a contract for work in the park for weeding and mulching, $4,800, or would we like them to, for $2,100, procure the additional umbrella policy? And I would just note that the contractor is providing $1 million of liability insurance. The Friends of Memorial Park has a liability insurance in place for another $1 million of liability that they would be in front of the township. The township, of course, has a liability policy of a much higher limit. So I think the consideration for the committee could be whether for a weeding and mulching contract, these multi-million dollars of liability insurance in place is adequate, or would we like them to get another layer for an additional cost?
I don't think we need to increase any.
If there's any change to it, we could just, in talking about this, if there was a change to it, we could just come here and see what.
You mean if you needed trees cut down?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where we would. I think
anything like that. Yeah. I mean, we're just trying to figure out how to work under this. This is new to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Georgia did it before, and she had her own guys, and
No, I think this is exactly the way to work on this on the MOU. If there's a question,
absolutely.
Come and the committee decides.
Yeah. And as long as we can work on it, then, yeah.
The level of coverage already in place seems more than adequate under the terms and conditions of the contract that's being entered into. Whether or not it qualifies as a large contract or not, that's somewhat subjective. But the point is that I don't believe that those limits were envisioned a contract of this type to do these types of activities. And it seems to be that there's more than adequate coverage in place for the work being procured.
Any other discussion, or is there a motion to authorize Friends of
Mayor, I just, if Homestead Lawn and Landscaping LLC will maintain an insurance policy of $1 million. And then it states a certificate of insurance from Homestead Lawn and Maintenance LLC. So which company is the one with the insurance? Because there's two different names there.
That's a good question.
Where is that? Section 3?
Section 3, the first sentence, 3.1. And going into the second sentence.
Right.
It's noted that the policy of insurance of $1 million will be Homestead Lawn and Landscaping, LLC. And then it states that a certificate of insurance from Homestead Lawn and Maintenance, LLC, should be issued. So, really, I guess we just need to know which company we're dealing with on the insurance.
I didn't even...
That's the only place where it actually says maintenance. Everywhere else it says...
Exactly.
It's probably a typo.
Could be a typo. I mean, we can follow up with that.
Yeah, if you can just clarify that the $1 million of insurance is for the company that's under contract.
It has to be Homestead Lawn and Landscaping because they're the party to the contract.
Okay.
So the contract either has to be changed or the coverage has to be changed. They have to be in line.
Looks like a typo.
Yeah, it looks like somebody made a mistake.
Everywhere else it says landscape.
Back here?
No,
I don't think so.
Just get the contracts written correctly.
Yeah.
And then,
right. Or the coverage written correctly.
The coverage and the insurance holder that gets it to us.
All right.
Any other comments or discussion?
And then when that's changed, how do we go about just we do the contract to Karen?
Submit to Karen, and Karen, if she has any questions, she checks with our insurance agent. Otherwise, once the insurance certificate is in place.
And I'll let Kim know, too. She'll know what to...
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
well, is there a motion to approve the contract with the clarification of
we're really
not
just
approve the Friends of Memorial Park entering the contract
with the waiver of the additional coverage.
Right.
It's actually the contract's going to be signed by Friends.
Yes. Correct?
Right. We're actually agreeing to waive a certain condition of the MOU.
Right.
And they're entering
that's
the contract.
That's the motion. Okay. Then, right.
That's our motion, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So is there a motion to waive the MOU and umbrella insurance coverage if Friends of Memorial Park enters the contract?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And well, thank you for the thank Friends of Memorial Park for the work of the park.
All right.
Next is the a Stop the Soot grant. So the committee in your packets, you have as the committee knows, the DPW has requested to replace the backhoe that the township owns. And as part of that, then it came to our attention that the state of New Jersey Department of DEP has something called a Stop the Soot grant under the division, the Bureau of Mobile Sources. What I've learned is what they do is there's a number of federal grants to reduce soot emissions, and the NJDEP coordinates as the interface to these federal grants. That's why there's some uncertainty in these numbers. These grants typically provide 25% to 30% toward the purchase of a qualifying new piece of equipment. The only requirement, significant requirement that I've found, obviously requirements are that you follow all the laws, and there are laws about how long you can idle engines and things like that, which we have to follow anyway. The only additional requirement would be that instead of trading in our old backhoe, we would have to destroy the backhoe, which is, you know, drilling through the crankcase sort of thing. So in the case of the backhoe, we could qualify for $27,000 to $33,000 of a grant, and we would lose $6,000 in trade-in value. And the contact I've had with the NJDEP suggests that the backhoe should qualify for such a grant. We also have, and I put it in the information you have, for many years now, the DPW has requested that we upgrade our paver, maintainer paver. We have a 1977 Huber maintainer, which has become almost obsolete. We have a 1979 Rago Roadster paver, and the DPW supervisor is suggesting that we would trade both of those into an upgraded paver. We have a bond ordinance from 2012 that is in effect providing capital of $100,000 toward a new maintainer that could apply for this new paver, because this equipment has evolved, so the new equipment would be a combination maintainer paver. At any rate, it's not as certain either way whether we would qualify for 25% to 30% for this new equipment, but we wouldn't know until we apply. So the motion today is to apply to the NJDEP for both upgrade opportunities, and then we report back once we get word of what the results of that grant would be. Any discussion?
Did they say how long it would take to get an approval?
It's always uncertain because different grants open and close. They're saying it would be weeks that we would know. There's a current work cycle. They have different terminology. Current work cycle, and some number of weeks we should know whether we would qualify. And then it's a reimbursement process. So we would get a letter that confirms we qualify. We would have to buy the equipment, and then toward the end of the summer, potentially, we'll be reimbursed for the portion after we show that we've you know, destroyed the old equipment, et cetera.
And we're not in dire need that this has to be replaced, like, immediately, right? I'm trying to weigh...
The backhoe Warren would like to get replaced. The backhoe we actually approved in the budget. That's getting done.
But we're just looking to be able to get this grant funding to help offset the cost.
Realistically, the maintainer was approved in 2012 and never purchased.
Yeah,
and this is we're getting into paving season. So Warren would like this sooner than later.
Right.
But we're not approving the purchase of a paver. We're just approving to apply for the grant.
Right, and then the maintainer paver is now one and the same, which is more money than what was allocated for it.
Right.
So, but the grants will offset it.
If we get the grants, it would offset it.
Okay. So I would say apply.
Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to apply for the grants for both the backhoe and the maintainer and paver replacement.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Okay. Next is the volunteer accident policy renewal. So just to remind everyone, the township carries what would be called secondary medical insurance for volunteers. So if up to 75 volunteers, if someone gets injured, their personal medical insurance would be the first form of coverage. If they're injured and they don't have enough or don't have personal medical insurance, the township would have accident policy for them. This is why we ask all the subcommittees to log into the official minutes events that are happening, because the events that get logged in then get covered for these volunteers. $350 would be the cost to renew for the current year. Is there any discussion?
And as I understood, it's 75 people per event.
Per event, right, not the same 75.
Five people, total. Yeah. So, motion to approve this, is that what we're looking for?
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion to approve the volunteer accidental policy for $350.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Okay, next is the Recreation Commission request for a Camping in the Park event. I see representatives from the Recreation Commission. While you're coming up, the information that we have is that on Friday, July 12th, they have a scheduled movie night in the park, and they are looking to explore the opportunity, or maybe they're proposing to allow residents to camp overnight in the park following the movie. Would you like to give any more introduction or pose the question more specifically?
Okay. good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Could you just give your names for the record?
Oh, I'm sorry, Darren McDowell.
Maria Navarro.
Thanks.
So we're looking to try something new, something different. The Rec Committee is based upon, you know, doing stuff for the township residents. And we're always looking for fresh new ideas. So we figured this would be something that hasn't been done before. We had met with the parks, and they had agreed to let us move forward with this. So basically it would be a Saturday night or Friday night.
Friday night.
Getting a screen setting up on the hill and basically having a pre-registration for residents to come and set up their campsites. Instead of a drive-in movie, it's a camping movie.
Mm-hmm.
As a member of the Scouts, we attend one every year up in Pennsylvania, and it's a fantastic time. It's very family-oriented and stuff, and it's a lot of fun. The pre-registration would be so we would know, A, how many people are coming, adults and kids, and we could set up a grid pattern of where to have the camp set up, so we don't have, you know, they're all scattered. We try to keep them, you know. We'll figure out a measurement, whether it's, you know, 15 by 15 or 20 by 20 per site, let's say, so we can line them up. Doesn't mean that they have to sit there and watch the movie. They'd absolutely, you know, go wherever they want, but at least the camping and the tents would be structured in a way that is maintainable. As I discussed with Maria earlier, there was some concerns that were brought up. One of them would be for we could have what would be an administrative tent set up where I could probably stay there along with somebody else. And if there was anything that came up during the nighttime, We could address an issue or whatever. We would have a quiet, you know, lights out time, just like any, you know, formal campground has a quiet time or a lights out time. We would do the same thing. What else?
What kind of questions do you have for us?
Children would have to be with their parents or guardian, so no groups of children alone?
Well, yes, yes. What we talked about was anyone under 18 would have to be with an adult. However, if it was an organized group, like Cub Scouts, like Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, if I have 12 of my boys that want to go camping as a designated leader, I let 12 of my boys go, and I would be responsible for those 12 boys. Just like if a Girl Scout group wanted to go camping or a church group, youth group wanted to come camping or something, they would have designated chaperones for that event. Same thing would apply here. You know, because there's some parents that just don't like to camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doesn't mean the kids don't want to camp.
Mm-hmm.
So that would all be part of the pre-registration then.
Correct. Yeah,
so
we would need
that's
to know
how you
that.
Would vet this, that there'd be a pre-registration and only the pre-registered individuals or people or groups with chaperones or whatever would be allowed to camp over that night.
Yeah, because I really don't want, you know, envision like, you know, four 16-year-old boys rolling in there with four 16-year-old girls at, you know, 11 o'clock at night. You know,
yes,
so
I agree.
That would be, you know, I would need to know that ahead of time. So anybody that entered, somebody would be there to
greet them,
to check that out. So we would set it up somehow, you know, with some caution tape or something, you know, and, you know, one way in, one way out type of thing, as best we can. You know, it depends on the size of the area,
mm-hmm.
but the size of area depends on how many people register.
Right.
Now, like any other event, everybody doesn't register before, you get people that show up the day of, which case we would be prepared for that and take care of that. I myself have a lot of experience in dealing with this type of stuff. Just 3 months ago, we camped over 200 boys in January at Teeter Town, you know, and it was single digits that night. So it's not really that big of a deal for us.
Mm-hmm.
If families want to have their own little grill, barbecue, breakfast, propane grills.
I think that's up to parks. We would discuss with them, hopeful that they would open up the snack area and as a fundraiser, sell hamburgers and hot dogs and stuff out of that, you know, bags of popcorn, whatever. I'll tell you, typically at a scouting event, there's none of that takes place. You know, if there's one designated area for food, there's no ground fires, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing that we want to do is, you know, ruin any of the grass or...
Yeah. And even when you say if it's a 15 by 15 grid, depending on the size of the grid, that seems awfully close to have your little, you know, propane grill going next to somebody's eye.
No, I think if, you know, maybe, like, there's no, are you allowed to grill in the park now?
That's a good question.
It's limited. It's restricted. I know that. I mean, I don't have it memorized, but it's contained to a designated area per the code.
I think we would, you know, probably word it for the pre-registration that there would be no,
I like that.
You know, no fires, no cooking, you know,
yeah.
Either you eat before you come or you purchase the food here.
Right.
Yeah.
One or the other, you know.
Right.
And a kind of a,
we bring a sandwich.
Exit the park by 11 or noon the next morning or something. It's not meant to be a.
Yeah, you know, typically it empties out pretty quick.
Yeah, I would assume.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't say 8 a.m. or anything, but...
Leave the park
or remove the tents. By 8 o'clock.
Or at least remove the tents,
Shoot the cat in off at 5:30.
And obviously cleanup or any debris or anything like that will be handled by the rec, right?
Yeah, we take care of that.
Any legal considerations we should have?
I would just treat this as a
lawyer.
I could go on and on. I treat this as a request for a special permit under... Section 269-2A7 of our code, which would be a request from the Rec Commission to waive the closing hour on the date in question, July 12th, subject to all parties participating being registered. I don't want to say pre-registered. We're going to take registrations day of that they're registered through the process established by the Recreation Commission.
But in terms of in that registration form, any... waivers, any, you know, camping at your own risk, not responsible for stolen property, anything, or is that all implied?
All we're doing, the way I interpret this is All other rules, regulations of the park are going to remain in effect. That it's simply a limited waiver of the hours of operation for that night in question. We're not granting any additional rights or anything like that. So I'd want to keep it as straightforward as that.
Okay. So on a Saturday afternoon, if somebody plays on the swing set, to some extent, it's their own risk.
Correct. We have the protections of the law, the Tort Claims Act and whatnot. Okay. It's still public property, obviously, and somebody trips in a hole or something like that, it's an unimproved condition and whatnot. I don't think there's any need to, as long as we're not expanding the use beyond its as a park, and you've addressed some of those concerns. You start rolling in propane tanks and building climbing walls and things like that, where we'd be into signing releases and we'd be arguing about the enforceability of those. But here we're just having the park open and for an extended period of time for registered participants.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I don't know if Jack, would you wouldn't consider this to have need any more police presence than say like Halloween Madness? It would be.
Depends on the movie you're watching. You may all be doing
the same. We're leaning towards the Goonies, so.
Air mattresses allowed.
I'm so glad I'm going to be here.
Well, we would expect to see all the community members there.
Yeah, well, I'll be there.
We'll have a spot where it gets a little wet and soft on the side. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the request for the
special
camping in the park event?
Special permit to waive the closing.
I'll make a motion to approve this camping event for the Recreation Commission on Friday, July 12th, as the information that we've heard tonight will be guiding us in this event.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Thank you, committee.
Thank you both very much.
Next on the list is the discussion of the museum curator and historian roles. As this relates to township personnel, we're going to defer this into executive session before we would potentially discuss it publicly afterward. That takes us up to presentation of vouchers.
You have none?
Okay, my first one is for Winter Ford. This is for the 2019 Police Interceptor. $39,924. Then I have one for the Police and Firemen's Retirement Division of Pensions, 2019 Annual Appropriations, $226,920. That's it.
I have the U.S. Postal Service postage. This was discussed at the last meeting for $2,000, and that will show up as an addendum on the current voucher list. Then we have the Public Employees Retirement Division of Pensions 2019 PERS, the Public Employee Retirement System payment, $124,493. The New Jersey Health Benefits Plan for active and retired member employees, $32,995.75 for the month of April. Statewide Insurance Fund, our second of four installment payments for both workers' comp and the umbrella assessment, $50,101.75. Cooperative Communications, our old phone provider, $1,060.37. Cornerstone Printing for the spring newsletter, $2,446.49. County of Hunterdon, second quarter county tax that we passed through, $744,123.54. Second quarter open space tax that we passed through to Hunterdon County, $68,289.50. Finch Fuel Oil Company for the municipal building and other buildings, $2,101.58. Township of Holland for our qualified purchasing agent shared service, first installment of two payments, $1,000, and Van Cleef Engineering Associates, discussed in the last meeting, the overcharge from the tax map preparation as well as other professional services, total amount of $16,977.
Okay, I have one for A&K Equipment Company for some hardware for $3,317. I've got one for Griffith Allied Trucking for some diesel delivery and fuel, $2,114.47. I have one for the Little Brook Lane Property Association for plowing, $1,050. I have one for the North Hunter and Voorhees High School May 2019 school tax, $963,947.85. Lebanon Township Board of Education for the May 2019 school tax, $1,687,420. And lastly, the County of Hunterdon Library, second quarter library tax, $71,798.61.
I have none that qualify.
So the total voucher list, including the $2,000 from the April bill list, is $4,053,133.08. Any discussion or motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion. Oh, any discussion first? Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we have a couple items of correspondence. First is we have in front of us the animal control report from March 2019. Any topics you'd like to highlight? The list of dogs and a cat or two that were taken care of. Recreation Commission report from March 7th, 2019. The various dates for the mini camps, are those firmed up dates that we should read into the record?
Let me just double check with Maria.
Okay.
I mean, they were firm.
Of time
as now. Yeah, they were.
Good.
They're good.
Those
yeah.
Good? Do you want to?
So
read
all right, yeah. So I'll read the
also
summer.
Also, the spring nature walk comes up first.
Okay.
I don't know. May 11th.
Yeah, we have a spring nature walk scheduled for Saturday, May 11th, from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. with Hunterdon County Parks to be held at Point Mountain. This will be a longer and more strenuous hike compared with the ones we have offered in the past. And then the summer mini camps. The dates for the camps and organizations leading the activities are as follows. July 17th, Happy Face Nursery School. July 24th, Spruce Run Preschool. July 31st, Ginger Tree Preschool. August 7th, Hunterdon County Parks. August 14th, the LTAA, that's the Lebanon Township Athletic Association. August 21st, Whittemore. And all events will be held at Memorial Park from 9 to 11 for ages 6 and under.
Any other comments?
I think so.
Next correspondent is the tax collector's report for the months of March and April. Taxes collected for the year 2019, $210,444.74. Tax collected to the year 2018, $35,839.41. Interest, $6,213.83 for total receipts of $252,497.98. And finally, I was asked to list out May 4th as a workday in Memorial Park to put that in the record, and that is in place. No other correspondence. With that, we would then go to public comment for any comment any member of the public would like to make. Is there a motion to open a public comment?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment.
Lori Hoffman, Buffalo Hollow Road. I like the T-shirts. Can we put on it, because it's a volunteer dinner, have volunteer on the T-shirt to hand out to all the volunteers, even the ones that don't attend? Or is that going to be too many?
Well,
I just think, because like when the rec, whenever we do an activity, we all try to wear a red shirt, and then we have a tag, so people will know that you're a volunteer at different events.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Seeing none, the motion to close public comment.
Motion to close public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. We will be going into executive session. Several items I see in our packets. Would you call it a potential litigation?
Correct.
Okay.
It just came in today.
Item of potential litigation. a contract matter related to the fire department, two personnel matters, one related to the curator, the other related to comp time policy that was previously discussed, a update on the shared service with Tewksbury, and an update on the collective bargaining with the PBA. Unless anyone has anything else, I would say there's potential action on one of the personnel matters. With that, is there a motion for resolution 45-2019 authorizing executive session?
So moved.
Second.
Roll.